God. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 22. Some have asked over the years, well, Pastor, how do you come up with messages? And I know how God speaks to me. It's a thought that won't leave me. And last week, there was this thought that would just not leave me. And it's about his soon returning. Amen. Ready or not, here I come. When Jesus comes back, he's not going to be looking for people. He came to Adam and said, "Where art thou, Adam?" He knew exactly where he was. But Adam decided not to make himself available to God. And when our God comes back, he's not going to be looking for people. He's going to be calling them out. Amen. Isaiah 22 and 23 says, "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne in his Father's house." We have to be sure. We have to be sold out. We have to be committed. And then there isn't going to be a problem with our exit out of here. If you turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 10, and starting in verse number 36, it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Don't give up. Amen. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We have to make a stand. We have to make a sure stand. Lord, we ask your blessing in your anointing upon your word this morning, God. It would go forth without any hindrance, but it would feed our soul, our mind, and our spirit. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was written 2,000 years ago, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry," or "will not linger." I've been hearing prophecy and preaching about his soon return for, well, as long as I've been in the church, 38 years. I've heard messages in tongues and interpretation and prophecy over the years that I'm coming back soon. You know, we have to understand the relative of time with God. It's different than with us, you see. And I've seen many draw back into perdition or spiritual ruin. They start out good, they're running fast, they're doing well, but then they're not patient and they're not receiving the promise. Let's take a look at 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the worlds that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're hearing all kinds of rumors of nuclear war and threats today. It's on the news all of the time. It's in the papers. It's in articles. But this describes what is going to happen. And sometimes we can be inoculated to thinking, well, that's not happening in my lifetime. It said, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years with one day. Based on that, it's only 2 days since Jesus left. In his economy of time, it's not been long. You know, John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Quickly to God isn't always quickly to us. There's no doubt in his coming. The question is, am I ready for his coming? We know that there is a generation who will not sleep the sleep of death, but will be alive at his coming. Perhaps the people who are sitting in this congregation will one day hear the sound of the trump, and our feet will lose the gravity of this world. And I can't help but believe that we are living in that generation. Has there ever been a time like this? Never. I thought when I came into the church, it surely can't last much longer because of the corruption, a total financial collapse of society that we've received in the last few years, a total moral decline of America and government takeover that I never thought would happen. We're allowing the government to control our lives like never before. We are seeing earthquakes of great magnitude almost on a daily basis, fires everywhere, uncontrolled, hurricanes not just in tropical areas of the world, but also in New York City. It doesn't make sense. And what God is saying, I'm trying to get your attention. Can you understand how quick it is before I come? Now, this message is not to scare people. It's a message of, I'm ready. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, folks, this shouldn't cause us to be afraid. I feel like God chose us to be a part of the rapture generation for a purpose. Not only that we'll be more sold out, but we're going to reach more people. God is getting a world ready for his return. Hallelujah. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we then who are alive shall be caught up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a whole bunch of white robes that are going to go up from Caledonia, Wisconsin, and all over the world. My wife and I just got back from Cabo San Lucas. It's at the end of the Baja Peninsula. It's, in my estimation, probably the most beautiful place on the face of the earth. I've been in a lot of places. Hawaii is nice, but this is just awesome. And every February and March, there's humpback whales that come to the Sea of Cortez. It's between Mexico and the Baja Peninsula to birth their little baby whales. They travel thousands of miles from Alaska to go back to the same place every year in order to have their babies. It's just incredible to watch that they have whale watching boats that go out, and as soon as the whales hear the sound of the boats, they swim over to the boats and start performing, jumping, full body splashes, you know, because they just want to show off. And as soon as the mother jumps up in the air, then the babies do exactly what the mother. We're influencing our kids, aren't we? Even nature tells us we're influencing our kids. We met a lady there who lives there, and she does snorkeling, and she told us one afternoon her and her children were out snorkeling in the ocean, and they observed a whale giving birth. She said it was the most magnificent thing I have ever seen. You know what the greatest thing in the church is? When we see somebody being birthed in the spirit and the water. Every year, the humpback whale makes the trip. God put it in their heart to come back. Nobody forces them, but they come back. And at the end of this month, they'll make their trip with their young up to Alaska. I've mentioned this before, but at daybreak on February 18th of this year, and in every year, thousands of swallows leave Argentina where they winter to make a 12,000-mile trip to San Juan Capistrano. They fly 15 hours a day at altitudes of a mile high, and they do this for 30 days. They will arrive 9 days to the day, 9 days from today on March 17th in California. This migration has taken place for literally hundreds of years. You can set your clock, you can set your calendar by this migration of these swallows. The city buys thousands of ladybugs in order to feed the swallows. I'm thinking about selling some of mine. They create mud puddles all over the city in order for the swallows to gather mud, in order to make their nest. So they have a place to give birth to their babies. 20,000 people show up every year in order to welcome them. They ring the bells at the chapels. They clap their hands. You could set your clock by it, but I read that 1 year, they just never showed up. People waited and waited and waited, but they never appeared. Peter said, in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust. My things are more important than anything God has to do. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where are they? Where is he? I wonder how many sermons I've preached. I wonder how many Bible studies I've taught about the coming of the Lord. I remember a building program in 1980 that I was involved in, a steering committee, and I thought, we'll never get this building done before Jesus comes, because the intensity of the presence of God and the urgency that I felt in my heart to get people ready, I thought, we'll never get through this building project. And that was a lot of years ago. In 1988, if some of you were around, there was 88 reasons why Jesus was coming in 88. And, well, he never showed up, not in bodily form. Listen, Jesus shows up every time we mention his name. He's here. It's not like we're waiting for God to come back. Oh, I hope you come back. You know, he was here this morning. He's in your car. He's in your house. He's everywhere, just not to take us out of this world yet. But he's preparing us for the trip. Amen. And what's so nice about this trip is you don't have to pack your bags. Because nothing is going to leave with you. You don't have to worry about unpacking your bags once you get to heaven, because he's going to provide everything that you need. Glory to God. Hebrews 10 and 37 said, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. We're closer than ever before to his coming. The signs are all around us. Our God is about to descend from heaven with a shout, ready or not. It's not going to depend on whether we're ready. It's a matter of, is he ready? And I believe the date's been set. It's on the calendar. He knows when he's coming back. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. This week I saw excerpts of Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu speak to our Congress. He made it very clear of the threat of a nuclear attack on Israel from Iran. There's some people who didn't want to listen to it, don't want to hear about that. There's a lot of people who don't want to hear the preaching of hard things, and the reason for that is they don't want to prepare for what's going to happen in the future. Some people just aren't listening, or they think that it'll never happen, just like we read in Peter. His speech was like reading prophecy, at least the excerpts that I heard. You know, it was like there was someone who sent from Israel to the United States and said, hey, get ready. This is the stage being set. My Bible says, all nations shall come against Israel. And this will happen 3.5 years after we leave in the rapture. So if it's close, how much closer are we to the rapture of the church? God wants to get the attention of his church. Be ready and get someone else ready as well. We aren't waiting for any prophecies to be fulfilled. Everything that has to be fulfilled has already been fulfilled in the Bible. The next thing on God's calendar is catching away God's people off of this earth, releasing us from the gravity. You know, they have a lot of private investors who are now sending up satellites into the skies because the United States has decided that that's no longer important, so they turned it over to the private sector, and they're spending millions of dollars in knowledge and engineering and getting rockets to get just beyond the pole of this world. When all God has to do is shout, and gravity releases us, and all of a sudden we're going up like a rocket into outer space to a place that he has prepared for each and every one of us. We can find evidence of the second coming of the Lord from Genesis to Malachi, not just in the New Testament. Abraham seeks a city whose builder and maker is God. Jacob prophesied of the coming king of Judah. Isaiah sees the return of the King of Glory. Zechariah writes about a world recreated at his return. Zechariah 14 and 9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all of the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. No argument at the next time when God comes back, everyone's going to look at him, not knowing there's a Trinity, but there is a God in flesh. There's only one Lord and his name is Jesus. Would you turn to Zechariah, the 14th chapter? Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 1. This is prophecy. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Listen, Congress, this is prophecy. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and the half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it to the south. And ye shall flee into the valley of the mountain for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azazel. So we find that he's coming back when all nations come against Jerusalem. I mean, it's in the forefront. God is making it so clear. Never has the prime minister of Israel ever addressed Congress. Never has there been such a gathering of the important political people in the world to applaud what Israel is doing. Amen. And God's going to fight for Israel. Amen. Jesus himself told the high priest at his mock trial, when asked if he were the Christ, he said in Matthew 26 and 64, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Pilate, I just want to let you know, you're going to see this happen. After his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. Take a look at Acts chapter 1. Most of this you're very familiar with. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11. It says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This is as Jesus is leaving, ascending up into heaven. The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he's coming back to the same spot. I stood on that spot at the Mount of Olives, just on the eastern gate of Jerusalem. That's where he is going to be returning. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, this is the resurrection chapter, if you will. It explains so in detail what is going to happen. If we can start in verse number 49, it says, and as we have borne the image of earthly, we shall also bear the image of heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, no more death, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he conquered death, I can conquer death. This isn't the end of it. Eternity, immortality. Can you imagine if someone discovered the way to immortality here? What would that sell for? And God offers it to us for free. Amen. You know, ladies, you buy vanishing cream to get rid of your wrinkles. The only thing that vanishes is your money. Everybody wants to prolong this life somehow. You want to prolong the life? Get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Live for God the best that you can. Who cares? This shriveled up body isn't going to last forever, but the immortal one will. Would you turn to Hebrews 9? Hebrews 9, verse number 27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Well, who? Everybody. Once to die, and then the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back with salvation in his hands. Amen. Glory to God. one out of every verses in the New Testament talks about the Lord's coming. Let's also turn to 1 John, the third chapter. First John chapter 3 and verse number 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Listen, if you want to make it to heaven, according to this, we have to purify ourselves. Not be at the edge of the church, not, well, we'll go so far. But you know what? I want to do everything I can in order to be ready when he comes. Ready or not. He's coming. Amen. According to Ezekiel 33, the pastor is the watchman on the wall. You've heard me say it over and over again to warn people of impending danger. And it is my responsibility in order to make that call. And if we don't talk about the second coming of the Lord, if we just talk about the blessings of God, just the love of God, some might get the false impression that, well, he's not coming. Right. And at least not in my lifetime. There's a good formula. Plan as if he's not coming in your lifetime. Live as though he's coming tomorrow. Amen. And that's safety. Don't be afraid. Don't, some of you young people, well, I don't want God to come until I am able to get married and experience some of the things. Don't worry about that. The joys of God in heaven are much greater than anything we could ever experience here on earth. On our first day in Cabo San Lucas, and my wife went to, they have an indoor mall there. It's called Luxury Avenue, and they cater to all of the Americans who want to buy little things. And we walked through it just a few minutes, and we walked out. And as we were walking out, there were four people coming towards us, two couples. And one guy says, "Is there anything in there that's worth seeing?" You know, they were Americans. And I said, "Oh, maybe a little, but that's up to you." And then they said, "Are you Pentecostal?" And we found that it was a pastor and wife and another couple from Dallas, Texas, who are the closest friends to Brother East. And they came in on a cruise ship, and they were only there for a couple of hours in Cabo San Lucas, and we meet them. And so we're talking about God, and I said, and we talked about, you know what, God's coming soon, and we have to be ready. And I said, "Brother Benson, we have to be a watchman on the wall and make a clear sound." And at that point, I mean, he was shook. He was visibly shook. And he said, "Brother, for the last 2 months, God has been telling me that I have to be a watchman on the wall and make a clear sound." And I said, "God, send someone to me." To confirm this. So what are the chances, you know, that a dumb pastor from Caledonia and someone from Dallas meet in a place like Cabo in order to just give them? I'm feeling like I have a word for somebody in Hawaii next week. Glory to God. We have a mandate from God to get people ready. not frighten them, but to prepare them for the soon return of God. To preach it when we see people unconcerned about their souls. And it's not just my responsibility, it's all of our responsibility when we see somebody growing cold in their soul. You know what? We've got to be ready. When we see people ignoring the Lord's day and not coming to church, we have a responsibility to say, hey, I am my brother's keeper. What has happened to you? You never would have done that years ago. The Lord's coming. He's coming soon. When we see the signs of this world and when we see people lost sight of the nearness of his return, then we have an obligation to make a clear sound to everyone. Back in the Old Testament, the high priest entered into the holy place and he disappeared from sight from the people. The people could not see him any longer. And it wasn't until he returned and they saw him again that they knew the work of their redemption was complete. But it wasn't until he came back and they saw him that they realized their redemption was complete. The people all shouted when they saw his return. Folks, I want to start shouting now because my God is about to make his entry into the world in order to secure our salvation. He's coming back out of that holy place and we're about to see him. Now, let me explain that the rapture is part of the second coming of the Lord. The second coming appears to have two distinct stages. The first is called the rapture or the catching away of God's church. You don't find the word rapture in the Bible, but it's a description of when God comes down from heaven, won't touch earth, but he's going to shout and call us, and we're going to meet him in the air. The rapture could be compared to a thief coming to steal that which is very precious to him. Jesus will do just that when people don't expect it. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter? First Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, are we hearing that? Then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, the love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we're in the grave or whether we're alive, we should live for him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We got to keep ourselves together. We need to be our brother's keeper. We need to say, come on, I'm not just nagging you. I'm just saying, we got to get through this together. We're going up together. This is God's planned elopement of the church. There's no wedding planned here on earth. He's going to elope. He doesn't need a ladder, but he's going to call us out of the house that we have in the middle of the night. No invitation sent out except right now. But when he comes, he's going to elope with his bride. The second stage of his coming is his appearing to everybody after the marriage supper of the Lamb, after we've been in heaven, after we've had that ceremony. 7 years after the rapture, Jesus will return to earth with his church to fight against the Antichrist and to establish his kingdom here for 1,000 years. We're going to go to the fight in Israel. Whether you understand it or not, we're coming. We're going to go back on white horses according to the scriptures. Here is the comparison between the rapture and his return to earth. In the rapture, Jesus comes in the air. At his appearing, Jesus comes to the earth to occupy. In the rapture, Jesus comes as the bridegroom. In the appearing, he comes as a king. In the rapture, he comes for his church. In his appearing, he comes with his church. In the rapture, he's like a thief in the night. In his appearing, he's like lightning that came from heaven. Jesus himself said in Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Hold fast. Stay steady. Keep coming to church. Keep living for God. Keep listening to the scripture. Keep worshiping God so we can be the church that Jesus is coming back for. Since no man knows the day or the hour of his return, Jesus commands us to watch, 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 watch. Look up. And the early church did exactly that. There seemed to be this preoccupation in the early church. He left, but he's coming back. It won't be long. And because of that, there was an urgency. You know, I got to get Aunt Betty in the church. I've got to talk to my neighbor because Jesus is coming back. When the enemy can lull us to sleep and think, well, everything is the way it was from the time I came into the church until now, we don't seem to have that urgency in order to get somebody to the church. But I'll tell you what, if God told us the calendar is set and next week Sunday, I'm coming back for the church, would you change your plans this week? Would you see the urgency of getting somebody to church? God's not saying save them. God's just saying let them feel what you're feeling. Let them make the decision that you made, you see. They watched and they prayed and always lived in the shadow of the Lord's imminent return. It caused the early church to flourish and get through great trials and persecution because it didn't matter. It was only a little while and he's coming back. The human circulatory system has arteries that carry oxygenated blood to the body. So in order for this body to work, I have to have arteries that carries the blood, that red blood through the body in order to keep life. The veins that return the depleted blood back to the lungs, well, they come back in order to get reoxygenated in order to bring life to the body. The arteries carry the red blood and the veins return with blue blood back to the heart. The first coming of the Lord carried the red blood of Calvary, fresh from the heart of God. But the second return brings the royalty and kingship of God, which is the blue blood. Everything that happens in our body, everything that happens in nature, all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is a crown over our heart in veins, the doctors say, and it's all pointing to Jesus. Our bodies could not survive with just red blood from the arteries. And we as the church couldn't survive just because he died on the cross. Amen. But that he is returning.
Amen. Right.
And he's bringing life to us.
Amen.
He's coming soon. He came the first time for a funeral. But he's coming back the second time for a wedding.
Amen.
in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't even imagine what's going to happen at that very moment, but I want to be there. I want to be ready. I want to be ready for the change. You know, who cares what's happened? Who cares about the injustices? Who cares about... I was thinking this week of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and men brought her and threw her down at Jesus and said, "Here, we caught her." Well, where were you in the first place that you saw this? And where's the man? And then they started quoting scripture to Jesus. Here's what the law says. So the law says we should stone her. What say you? And he didn't say anything. But he started writing something in the sand. And one by one, they walked away. And then he said, "He who has no sin, cast the first stone." You know, whenever we get to the place where we're unfairly treated, or we didn't get the response that we wanted, or we didn't get the position that we wanted, you know what we ought to do is say, "God, examine me first. I know what the law says, but God's all about mercy." Amen. All about mercy. Amen. He's all about restoration. Amen. And even if we didn't get what we wanted, even if it wasn't fair, even if listen, who cares? In eternity, will you still be walking around with your lip dragging on golden streets? Oh, it was bad, it was bad, it was bad. This is a hope. Amen. And a change. This is the hope and change I believe in.
Amen.
Oh, what happened to the swallows? Well, they finally arrived, but not when they expected. And no one was there to greet them. One day too late. Oh, we talk about the rapture, but we'll be ready if it doesn't happen when we think it's going to happen. We got to keep watching. He will arrive when we think not. But I'm telling you, folks, it's sooner than we think. I remember, I think it was in 1982, an evangelist by the name of Richard Hurd came and he preached a revival, and it must have been 3 days, on the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And it seemed like every night I was thinking, won't be long now. But if there was ever a time that I knew I was sold out to God, it was at that time. And now's the time to be sold out for God. Because when the Prime Minister of Israel stands up in front of our Congress and says, "I'm worried about the attack, my enemy of my enemy is still my enemy, and we cannot make agreements with the enemy of God and the enemy of this world. There is no time for alliances with the enemy of this world or even alliance with your flesh. It's time to get right." Would you stand with me, please? The best time I've had in the last week was yesterday at 5 o'clock when I baptized 2 young people, and you could see the Holy Ghost all over them. If you're here this morning and you're not ready, you ought to make yourself ready. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to. If you haven't asked God to forgive you and to change your life, this morning would be a good morning, because you never know when Jesus is coming. The altar is open for everybody.